Reading from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 6, verses 37 through 44. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. He also told a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully qualified will be like the teacher. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, friend, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself do not see the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorns, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush.
I can remember the first day of class for all of my best teachers. In college, on the first day of my introduction to psychology class, the teacher was strict, demanding, and a little scary. On the second day of the same class, she was easygoing, enthralling, and fascinating. She admitted that she tries to come across as challenging and serious on the first day of class so that those who are looking for an easy A or a blow-off course will drop her class. On the first day of college as a freshman religion major, our History of World Religions professor gave us an overview of all the world's religions that we would be studying throughout the semester. Christianity, of course, but also Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, Jainism, Shinto, and Native spirituality. What knocked me over was her manner of presenting the religions. I had been taught that Christianity was the only right way and all other paths were incorrect. I had assumed that a Christian school and Christian professors would back me up on this. Her manner of respect for other religions and refusal to judge and condemn them for not being Christian had me questioning everything I had been taught up to that point. On my first day of seminary, the art and religion professor took his neatly stapled pile of 50-plus syllabi and drew our attention to the fact that everything we were going to cover within the semester would be contained within those pages. Then he promptly threw the stack of papers high into the air until they flew like a flock of white doves over the top of our heads. We jumped up out of our seats, gathering crumpled assignments scattered along the floor. No one doubted that we were in for a ride with this teacher. Our scripture for today occurs very early on in the Gospel according to Luke. Before this passage, Jesus did not send out enrollment forms for his course, but instead handpicked the human beings he wanted to pass his knowledge along to. He stood with them among a great crowd of people who suffered from various afflictions, and there was something about listening to his teachings and being in his presence that brought relief to those who were suffering. His first lesson plan followed the format of the great teachers I have studied under. He turned everything they thought they knew upside down. Blessed are the poor, hungry, and those who weep. Woe to the rich, full, and those who laugh. He kept it coming, giving out absurd homework assignments, such as loving their enemies and doing good to those who hated them. Then he gave a countercultural lecture and sermon, which is the text for our Pride Sunday celebration today. As to be expected, his instructions are much easier said than done. Do not judge, do not condemn, forgive, and be the type of person that is giving to others. I could maybe complete one of these assignments in a semester, but all four? Apparently, there would be a reward, an incentive for completing this homework. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. In Jesus' time, marketers would carry dry goods such as grain, flowers, and beans in the fold of their robe, which would be turned into a pocket after they wrapped their belt around the fold containing the merchandise. The image of receiving a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and poured into your lap, is the picture of someone's dry goods, a plentiful abundance of food and valuable commodities, unfolded from their robe and poured out in excess into your possession. It sounds similar to the law of attraction to me. The idea that what you put out in the universe is what is magnetically attracted back to yourself. If you put out judgment, it will come back to you. If you put out condemnation, condemnation will come knocking on your door. But if you release forgiveness, forgiveness will circle back gracefully to enfold you as well. And if you give unto others, that boomerang will gather gifts along the way and land in your lap in surprising ways. After his first lesson plan, Jesus told them a parable, which is a story that is thrown alongside a spiritual truth in order to further illustrate it. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? As a teenager at church camp, we would often be paired in twos and given a blindfold. One person would wear the blindfold while another would stand beside them, giving verbal instructions on how to make your way forward. Because the unblindfolded person could see the terrain, they would warn you if there was an obstacle in your way which you needed to bypass, or a dip in the ground that might cause you to fall if you did not know it was coming. If, however, you were paired with someone who was rambunctious and purposefully directed you towards difficult terrain for fun or headed you into walls, quite often the same treatment would be waiting for them when the role of blindfolded and guide was switched. If you had patiently and carefully given helpful instructions, most often that type of treatment would be returned to you tenfold when the tables were turned. If you cannot see the path ahead and someone else is leading you, they must be able to see farther than you can. Why would we trust someone to guide us on a spiritual path if they have not traveled it themselves? Why would we trust someone to advise us financially if they had no knowledge of the terrain? A disciple is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully qualified will be like the teacher. In choosing to follow Jesus, his students could see that he was a type of person who loved his enemies. He did not judge or condemn as the world did. He forgave others and offered what he had to those around him. If his students journeyed beside him long enough, they would begin to behave like their teacher. We become like those we spend time with and give a listening ear to. Jesus continued throwing story alongside spiritual truth. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye but do not notice the log in your own eye? How can you say to your neighbor, friend, let me take that speck out of your eye, when you yourself do not see the log in your own? You hypocrite! First, take the log out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. The fourth step in Alcoholics Anonymous is to make a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. When I worked at Starbucks, we used to take an inventory of all the products in the store. We needed to write down what we had an abundance of and what we were out of. A moral inventory is taking stock of all of one's good and bad character traits. If you don't know what you're working with, how can you place an order for what you are missing? In Jesus' parable, we are not alone in this removing the log from our eye process. There is the potential to help our neighbor and vice versa, but only if it is not a case of the blindfolded leading the blindfolded. Two people stuck with the same problem will not be able to help each other out. Only someone who's had a similar problem, but is past the place where you are stuck, will be able to shed some light and give helpful support and encouragement. This is why support groups are so beneficial. In AA, a person makes a searching and fearless moral inventory with the support of their sponsor, a person who has walked that particular journey before. Only when you have removed the log from your own eye are you qualified to help another remove the speck in theirs. Finally, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorns, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. Jesus wanted his students to be able to look around them and discern which religious leaders and teachers could be trusted. What's on the outside and what is on the inside will eventually show itself. What are the fruits of a God-loving person? Someone who loves their enemies and does good to those who hate them. Someone who does not judge, condemn. Someone who forgives and shares what they have with others. There's no need to keep going back to the thornbush church, community, or individual in hopes of picking juicy, nourishing figs. The thornbush is incapable of producing such fruit. So, church, what do these important teachings from Jesus have to say to us on this Pride Celebration Sunday? Individually, I think we have to ask ourselves who our teachers are. Even if it's been years since you have considered yourself a student, I assure you that someone or something has claimed you as a disciple. Just as Jesus' disciples sat at his feet and listened to, debated, questioned, and contemplated his teachings, all of us spend time listening to and learning from that which we give our attention to. Over time, we begin to look and act like those from whom we are learning from. Are you a disciple of a television or news program, a book, or your boss, a martial art or other hobby? We do not learn from just one teacher in our lives, but have different lessons to learn from those who know more than we do about various topics. When I want to learn the newest technology, I usually ask someone younger than myself. They become my teacher. If I wanted to learn more about living in the moment, a 2-year-old child is often the best professor. To learn about letting go, I seek out one who has lived through loss. I admit that I'm not an expert on the events that happened in Great Britain this week, but my understanding is that slightly more than half, 51%, voted to leave the European Union, whose fundamental purpose is to promote greater social, political, and economic harmony among the nations of Western Europe. From what I've researched, the decision to exit the European Union means that Great Britain is moving more towards isolation and going it alone, rather than cooperating with other countries and economies. The European Union has held together peoples who were once at war with each other. I think we all know what homophobia means, but what about xenophobia, which played a part in Britain's decision to exit? Xenophobia is the intense or irrational dislike or fear of people from other countries. Too many countries suffer from this disease right now, including our own. Those labeled as leavers in the Great Britain referendum, the ones who wanted to leave the Union, were exposed to the same type of American presidential race rhetoric that we're seeing plastered across our media today. Fear and exclusionism towards immigrants, refugees, Muslims, all labeled as other. I think we know what it feels like, especially as we sit only 2 weeks out from the massacre that claimed so many beloveds in Orlando. On today, one of the most important days of the year for us, Pride Celebration Sunday, we focus not on going it alone or isolation, but on cooperation and inclusion. The ways someone is different from you shouldn't matter in regards to how much respect, dignity, equality, or compassion you choose to show to them. But unfortunately, the respect, dignity, equality, and compassion that some groups of people are shown over and above others would make it seem like some lives matter more. The poem we heard earlier, originally written by a high school student, showed that even though his father, friend, neighbor, and church member said that the ways he was different from them didn't matter, their exclusionary actions proved otherwise. The poem ends with God asking the boy if he loves himself. Does it matter, he asks. The answer is a resounding yes, it matters. We are who we are with all our brilliant and beautiful differences because God created us the way we are. And until we can treat all people with respect, dignity, equality, and compassion that they deserve, we will have to proclaim loudly that those whose lives are excluded matter to us and matter to God. Queer lives matter. LGBTQIA lives in Orlando matter. Black and brown lives matter. Differently abled lives matter. Muslim and other religiously discriminated against lives matter. On the day God created us with all of our differences and beauty, God saw that it was good. Today, many of us will march down streets, hold up signs, or cheer from the sidelines, working on the homework assignment which we received from the foremost teacher of our lives, Jesus the Christ. That homework assignment being loving our enemies, doing good to those who hate us. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. May that good measure of love, pressed down, shaken together, running over, boomerang back to us, and may we faithfully companion those who are still blindfolded. May it be so. Amen.